Can you hear me okay? Or do I need to raise it up? Ed, can you hear me? No? I'm good? Okay. My sermon will be titled Putting on the New Self, or Put on the New Self. It's in regards to sanctification. Before I get into the passage, I should say, He is risen. I don't want to forget that. So Colossians is one of the Pauline epistles, and I'm just going to give a quick overview of the Pauline epistles. Basically, those are letters from Paul to the churches. And in these letters, Romans, we are justified in Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the overarching theme is we are enriched in Christ. In 2 Corinthians, we are comforted in Christ. In Galatians, we are free in Christ. In Ephesians, we are quickened in Christ. What does quickened mean? Quickened means to be made alive in Christ. In Philippians, we are joyful in Christ. And then in Colossians, where I'll be reading out of Colossians 3, we are complete in Christ. Many of the verses, if you read in Colossians, are very similar to Ephesians. I think you guys are in reading into the New Testament, especially, you'll recognize that. And then sanctify. What does the word sanctify mean? Pastor said it numerous times. I don't know if it always sinks in to us, but it basically means to be holy. And what does be holy mean? To make holy. What is holy? Holy is to be set apart. And when we get a vision of heaven, and the angels, I think it's a seraphim, are around God, they're saying three words. It's the same word: holy, holy, holy. And God has all those attributes, but what are the ones the angels are saying in heaven? Holy. That's how they're worshiping. The angels are worshiping. Holy, holy, holy. And to be sanctified means to be set apart. Basically, tear a piece of paper, flip it apart, you're away from it. You know, we can't even see God's face. And I don't think I can really ever give a clear indicator of what holy means. The Bible does the best that we have, and I think it's going to be really exciting to see what holy truly is, you know, when we do go to see God. So I'm going to have us read in Colossians 3, and it's 1 through 17. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Character of the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone had a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I tried to start it off with steps of sanctification. The research I did, I found that there's three different types of sanctification. I know Pastor acknowledged this or talked about this some time ago. There's a positional sanctification, and basically that is when we are saved, when Holy Spirit is in our heart and we are set apart. There's a lot of different words for that second one. One I see most often is experiential. It's basically what we're going through right now as Christians. And then the other one is, this is maybe not the proper one, but perfected salvation. When we die and we do become one with Christ in heaven. It says, first thing, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth, on the earth. And how hard is that? If you look back just at this week, I will say I had two excellent conversations with families in this church. It was all focused on things above. It's so inspiring when you have those conversations. I mean, they're so deep, and they make you just feel great to be part of a church like that. You know, and you know, too often we get caught on those things. It could be your health. I put things that distract us: money, landscaping. Not me though. I don't have a problem with the landscaping focus. Bills, health, insurance, being wronged, television, movies, radio, books, just all those things that we have. You got to think about what your focus was on this week, you know, and the Bible doesn't say we're not supposed to hold a profession. It doesn't say that. It says, what is our focus on? What are we doing all things? And I look at myself, and too often I get caught up into the worldly things. And that's when I get myself in trouble. I catch myself getting in trouble when I won't say turn away from the Lord, but I don't put him first. And I recognize it more and more. When I go into one of those, I don't know, dry patch, a couple hours or half a day or whatever, you start to recognize and realize how important it is. It says we're supposed to focus on the heavenly things. Heavenly things, some of the things I put down. Prayer would be the weakest one of mine, I think. Spending time in his word, huge. Bible studies, the various Bible studies we're in, were just very encouraging, being in those. Listening, and even with Stacy, when they do the women's one and she comes back and just talks about all the encouragement they're getting, it's just so awesome to watch God work in your spouse's life and the other people in the church. Giving, listening to sermons. I've found that's a pretty good way if you want to exercise, to be able to listen to sermons, maybe a podcast or something along those lines. I've been doing the treadmill more. Giving, witnessing, submitting to his lordship. Those are just some of the examples of some of the things you can do heavenly. I know there's more. I would like you to read John 17, 14 through 18. And this one is... Steve Lawson, I don't know if you guys follow him at all. I was, you know... Joel asked me about my sermon, and was I ready? And I was ready on, I think it was Tuesday, maybe it was Monday. And then I realized, no, I wasn't ready. This one really tied it together for me, one of his sermons, and it was called Sanctified in Truth. If you get a chance on YouTube to watch that, it's really good. John 17, 14 through 18. My eyes are not good. I have given them your work, and the world has hated them because you are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. So set apart them by your truth, your word. And your word is truth. And you sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That was just, thank you, God. I mean, the sermon I got to hear from Steve Lawson was just phenomenal, just tied a lot of this together, because it can get confusing. One, the best analogy I got from his sermon was he said, basically, kind of visualize yourself in a boat, and the world is that water, whatever, I don't know where you like to go, river, ocean. Me, a lake, I would not want to be on a boat on the ocean too far away. I'm a little scared about that. But you're in a boat, and what you're doing when you're taking off some of these things that we'll be talking about putting to death, you're taking that bucket. There's water in your boat. Every one of us has water in our boat. And we start shoving that water out of the boat, and we try to keep that boat as clean as we can. I thought it was a really good analogy to help with. We're to be of the world, but not in the world. And it's that constant, you actually have to do things to be holy. You can't just be a passive, what do they call them, carnal Christians? You know, just go to church once in a while. You actually have to do things to be holy. Put to death these things: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and lying. Those type of things defile a man. I was going to have Matthew 15, 16 through 20. Matthew 15, 16 through 20. Get down here. So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." A lot of times, the one that I struggle with would be that anger. And I catch myself still today, you know, not today yet, but things wanting to come out of my mouth. And I'm getting better at that. I think you guys can understand. You guys have things that you're fighting, and you get better, and you get better, and you look back at it. Man, how I would handle something where someone come after me when I was 21 to where it is now, it's completely different. And you'll grow that way, young people, and old people too. I think it's the same thing. I don't think you just get rid of it, but praise Jesus that the Holy Spirit is there to help us through putting to death these things. Put on the new man. The new man is renewed in knowledge. If you open up, you don't need to, Proverbs 9:10, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do we truly fear the Lord? And we've talked about this in Bible study, and pastors talked about this. I don't know if you talk about this at home. Do we really know what fearing the Lord means? Pastor asked me, he goes, "Are you is going up in front of the church fun?" And I said, I don't know if fun is the best term for that. It should be, though. It should be joyful, but it's fearful. I don't want to upset God. And he said we should do that, and it was on a text, actually. We should do that all the time, everything we do. We should be in fear of the Lord. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if we want to be knowledgeable, and that's what the world tells us, we have to be knowledgeable. We need to know as much as we can. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How do you know the Holy One? How do you know Christ? How do you know God? How do you know the Holy Spirit? If you're not focusing on heavenly things, you will not get to that point. It says there are no Greek, Jews, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarians, or Scythians, A barbarian, the word barbarian, I don't know if you know this, I'm going to world history teacher geek out a little bit for you guys. It's an onomatopoeia, and it was barbar. And the Romans, you know, they're higher than everybody, of course, and the barbarians didn't, their language they didn't understand, and it sounded bar, bar, bar. So that's where we get the word barbarians. The Scythians we don't know a lot about, and a reason we don't know a lot about them is because they didn't keep a written language, and they were powerful. So you had the barbarians, you had the Vandals, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, and the Huns kind of fell in between the two. Your barbarians were more on the, you guys are over here, on the western part of Europe. My understanding is the Scythians were more on the eastern Asia, eastern part of Europe, and came in. And these Scythians were, I don't know how to describe them, except they were very warlike. They would impress the Assyrians, if you guys have studied the Assyrians and how awful they were. They mummified their bodies, and they found tattoos all over these Scythian people, and they had animals. So they believed they were animists, you know, worshiping animals. They were considered, you know, really just awful people. But what this says is these awful people that we think awful, you know, horribly of, you know, how they are, how they treat people, they can come to Christ. Slave nor free, but Christ is all in all peoples. What I said is, there are no conservatives, there are no liberals, there are no Republicans, there are no Democrats, there are no Russians, there are no Ukrainians, there are no Chinese, there are no Japanese, there are no Catholics, there are no Baptists, there are no Methodists. Basically, if you're Christian, you're a Christian. And it's, we do these family trees, right? How many have done a family tree in here? You traced your ancestry, ancestry.com. Mrs. Stringy is the only one that's done it? You a little bit? Isaac, a little bit? Well, there's really only one family tree that matters to us as Christians. Who's our branch? Who's our tree? It's Christ. We are in Christ. That's the only ancestry that really matters to us. When we focus on, you know, did my great, 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 great grandpa have slaves or whatever? You know, you hear the BLM and the critical race theory, and, you know, they try to just belittle Christians as much as they can and blame us for those things. All these people in the world, it doesn't matter what you're defined as. What matters is if you have turned to the Lord, you've repented, and Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's what matters. It doesn't matter all those other titles. Putting on the new man towards others. And this is where I'm so thankful for the church, for pastor and the leaders in the church really helping me through this. My wife, too, she's very good with this. The tender mercies, basically caring for others who are broken. We have brokenness in our church. We have brokenness in our families. And it is so encouraging to see all the ways you people step up. And I appreciate you guys. Our family appreciates you so much. But we need to do that more often. We find people who are broke. We all have cracks. We all have holes in our lives. And, you know, how do we fill those up? It sure helps to have brothers and sisters help us through fill those cracks up. And sometimes we just got to tell somebody. You know, just let them know, hey, I'm struggling with this. Kindness. You know, I think that's one of those things that separates our church. Humility. The Son of Man, he came to serve, right? Humility. That's another one I struggle with, is putting myself, I need to be more humble. I really work on that. Meekness, another one. Sometimes I'm not seen as meek. I don't think if you had all you guys wrote three words about me, I don't think meekness would be one of those, but I need to work on being more meek. Long-suffering and bearing with one another. You know, Stacy, well, you're going to have this chemo the rest of your life. Well, that's long-suffering, but we're here together, and thank God for you guys that are with us on this journey. And then forgiving one another. We need to... This one is Mark 10:45. Put it in your... I'm sure you know it. It's one we don't like to when we're upset at somebody. But Mark 10:45 says, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That was the serving one. I'm sorry, messed that one up. That's not the forgiving one another. Whatever. We are supposed to forgive, and if we don't forgive man's sins, we won't have our sins forgiven. It says that in the Bible, so we have to be really careful about those things. And then above all these things, put on love. Love is the bond of perfection. And then let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What does that mean? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We were talking about it downstairs when Christ was getting, we called it a trial. It wasn't a trial. Joel called it a kangaroo court. Maybe a hearing would be a better technical term for it, because it wasn't a true trial. It was illegal. And Peter is denying Christ, and you could still see what Christ did was still just a look that Jesus was able to give Peter. The peace of God ruling your hearts. You know, and Peter comes out and hits the sword across the ear. Jesus goes and fixes the situation, doesn't rebuke him, rebukes him, but doesn't scream at him or, you know, how dare you, things like that. He's just so calm, and that's something that we need to, I know I do, need to really work with that peace. You know, when the world hates us, or it should, and if we're not feeling anything against us, and I am feeling those things in my school, in my community, I'm feeling people coming after me more and more, the more I dig into the Word and the more active I become in the church. We just have to be peaceful, and it's the other thing it says, and be thankful. You know, having an attitude of gratitude, just taking the time with your family, you know, just saying, hey, what are the things we're thankful for? Let's pivot off this negativity we may be on, and let's focus on the positives, the thankfulness that we have, all the things in our lives. And when we do that in church, I'm inspired that way too. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. Let the word of Christ, where do we get the word of Christ? It's in the Bible. How do we get that word of Christ, and how do we get it to dwell in us? If we're not reading it and we're not studying it, how can we possibly have it dwelling in us? There's one that I need to do better at. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I don't see myself as a great singer, but I think God can, what do you call that? I might sound like an angel to God. Maybe not. Maybe God's like, no, you don't have it. We're supposed to sing. Sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Did you wake up this morning and say, this is the day, this is the day? My dad would do that to me all the time. I'm like, Dad, come on. But I thought about it today as I was getting ready to do my first sermon. And just singing with grace in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Kind of what Pastor was referring to. We don't do that. That guy cuts us off in front in traffic. I hit my thumb with a hammer. Praise Jesus. That's what my dad would say. I hear my dad say, Dad, why would you say praise Jesus when you hit your thumb? But, you know, that's and if you knew my dad before he became a Christian, I'll be honest, he was an awful human being. And just him turning, it's something that we can work on, and we can get better, and we should be getting better. If we're not, I don't want to question your faith, but you should probably question your faith. Give thanks to God the Father through him. So what does sanctify mean? It means to make holy. And how do we set ourselves apart? How do we make ourselves apart? We put off we focus on things above and take away the things of this world, these worldly concerns that just bog us down, keep us from reaching our true potential where Christ expects us to be. Put to death uncleanliness. Put on the new man. Fearing and loving God. Here's so three parts of the putting on the new man. I'm really bad with outlines. I apologize, especially to the pastors and the pastor-to-be. I'm really bad with outlines. Just go with it. Fear and love God. Two, loving others. And then three, let Christ dwell in you richly, whatever you do. And four, thank God. So Sproul, R.C. Sproul, he's not with us anymore, but he's in a much better place. He always, I won't say he always, but he said the acronym JOY in those things, Jesus, others, yourself. If you can apply anything that I said today, put that in your heart, in your mind. Focus on Jesus first, others, yourself. We go opposite too often. I do. We focus on ourselves so much. Woe is me, or woe is my family. Look at what we're dealing with. Others. There's so many people in this congregation, in our communities, that just need that and love it, and it strengthens us. And then Jesus, that too often, he becomes last. It does for me. You want to live a rich life? Put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. R.C. Sproul, I quote him a lot. He said something that about obedience. Obedience is a response of gratitude to God's favor, already bestowed, and not a means of gaining it. Obedience is a response of gratitude to God's favor, already bestowed. So we already have God's favor bestowed upon us. It's not a means of gaining it. We can't gain God's favor. He already has given it to us. And if we truly want to enjoy what God has bestowed upon us, let's obey. Myself first. Let's obey. Let's do what Christ said throughout the Bible. Holiness is a mark of a true believer. Those that are set apart from the world, there's true holiness. You can tell. Well, you know, you can't work your way to heaven. No, you can't, but that's definitely evidence. Good works is evidence of a changed heart. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 1:15, if you would with me. I'm close to closing. I don't even know where I'm at for time. I'm probably way short, but 1 Peter 1:15. I'm going to read a little bit more than that. Let's start with 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's not a, I hope you do this, guys. That's a commandment. That's not, there's no sugarcoat in this. Read that. We don't know what holy means. But I guarantee you, you get in the Bible, you study, you start serving people, you start serving the church, you start serving your family, you're going to start seeing those things. But that right there says it. This is Lawson, he closed this. Those who are not pursuing holiness are not true believers. And that one's tough. That one's tough to hear because you hear people that talk about, you know, well, I accepted, they said they accepted Christ, but I don't see the fruits, those type of things. Again, he said those who are not pursuing holiness are not true believers. It's an active thing. You don't just become a Christian, then you get to just do whatever you want. Free in Christ does not mean you get to just do whatever you want. And Sproul would have said, it's not the profession of faith. You guys can finish it probably. It's the possession of faith. I could say whatever I want, but I can leave this church and I can live away and you guys can just say, man, what a failure you are. You're a fake. And I am a fake. I say a lot of things and I don't follow through, but I need to follow through. And I pray that you guys continue to pray for the leaders, pray for all of us, pray for me, that I become sanctified in the truth, that I don't turn from the truth. And when these people, the world, come after me, that I am peaceful and that I show love and I do a much better job with my family. I do a much better job with you guys. I pray that you guys can pray that for me, Pastor Pete, that we are sanctified in the truth. It's an ongoing process. But if we're not going through that process, you got to ask yourself, were you truly saved in the first place? I know that's a tough thing to discuss, but we really have to be careful. It's life and death. It's forever life and death. So I appreciate you giving me the time. You know, if I offended you and you would like to talk about it later, I would love to have a discussion with you. I have no problem with having discussions. I love it. Iron strengthens iron. And if I said something that was unholy, I know God is going to take care of it. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church, Lord. I am so appreciative of this church, Pastor, and the leaders, and the family, all that have attended today. Thank you for the conversations we've had. Lord, please help me to be a better walker, be set apart from this world, Lord. I don't need to be part of this world. Help me to take away those snares, those hooks that keep dragging me down into this mire. Help me to be stronger, stronger for this church. Help all of us as we leave. Please help some of this to, at least some of this, a couple things, get into our hearts and really work on us, Lord. And you know where everybody's at in this building. You know if there's someone that wants to have discussions later with Pastor or the leaders or just discussion at home. Please open those communication lines. And thank you for being an awesome God. Thank you for the weddings we've had. Thank you for just the moisture we have. I mean, we can complain. It's just so awesome seeing your sovereignty in four seasons in one day, Lord. It's just amazing. You can have a blizzard and a tornado and basically summer almost in one part of the state. And we just know that these could be signs of the end times, Lord. Please help us to have a heart that's ready for you to come when you come, that we're not caught off guard. And just watch over us all the rest of this week and help us to be able to come back next week and serve you and learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.